Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hello, and welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast. This is a solo episode, which I used to do all the time. It's been a really long time, and I feel like I'm really overdue to just sit down and talk into the microphone and express my own views. Okay, so in the past, in this podcast, I have tried to show different viewpoints, and sometimes I've interviewed guests with completely opposite viewpoints to show you that there's really no single way to do something or anything. So if you look back, one example is my series with Jonathan Canlis on refusing to specialize. He talks about how he will not specialize as a photographer. That's episode 30, if you want to find it at photofieldnotes.com. And then I interviewed Alicia Kane, and she talked about why specializing matters as a photographer and why that's an important part of your business. And that's episode number 33. In this case, they had opposite viewpoints. Neither one is right or wrong. It's all about what works for you and your business. And today I'm going to talk about a topic that's maybe a little bit of an oppositional topic in the world of photography, and it might ruffle a few feathers. So we'll see how this goes, because usually I do think I'm trying to like not ruffle feathers on this podcast. So I've had guests on in the past to talk about how in-person sales as a photographer is a really great way to grow your income. And I've talked on this podcast about how I personally used in-person sales, and then I transitioned away from in-person sales, where now I'm giving digital files with my sessions, and then I'm doing virtual online product sales after the fact. I was painting our bathroom. We were doing this like little renovation. Side note, we got like a $25,000 quote just to do our shower, which I thought was crazy. And so we did this like mini renovation for like $1,500, where we just glazed our old shower, and we were like, great, let's save that money. We're very much on the path of Coastfy, which is putting enough money into investment that we can then make less in the future and let that money coast into having enough at retirement to retire comfortably. So I digress. So that's all about like being frugal. But as I was painting the bathroom, I was listening to podcasts, and my phone was just kind of serving up whatever podcasts were in my library. And it ended up giving me an episode of Tyler J. McCall's Online Business Show. And the episode was called The Dark Side of Business with Maggie Patterson. It's a two-part series. I've actually only had a chance to listen to the first part, but Maggie and Tyler talked about how business owners can actually cause harm unintentionally or intentionally to people through manipulative marketing tactics. And then Maggie really got me thinking, and I ended up checking out her podcast. It's called Duped, The Dark Side of Online Business, and it's with Michelle Mazur, I think is how you pronounced it, Michelle Mazur. And I just loved this podcast. I've been devouring this podcast because everything they say speaks to me and really makes me consider how we as photographers might actually be, again, intentionally or unintentionally, using these manipulative tactics in our own businesses, especially things like high pressure sales and emotional manipulation to get our sales. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is why I ultimately moved away from in-person sales, because there's nothing inherently wrong with serving our clients through in-person sales. The general concept is good, but in many cases, photographers are actually creating this high-pressure sales environment that doesn't always actually serve our clients. So we tell ourselves that we're serving them to the highest level, that we're holding their hand through the process, but if you ask most clients, they'd rather not be forced into the high-pressure sales situation and then have to make all of these emotional decisions on the spot in front of you. So a few quick stories just to kind of like illustrate my thought process around this. Okay, so I personally have probably told this story before of a client when I was doing in-person sales. I would do it with weddings, and I think I was only offering it even just to those who wanted it at the time as I was like experimenting with in-person sales. And I had a client who ended up buying a high-priced item and I think a few other prints. It was somewhere, I can't remember the exact price, somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 was their total. And we spent a couple hours together. I was happy at the end of it that it worked out that way. And then the next day I was going on vacation, and I was sitting on the plane. I got a message from them and they said, you know, we realized that we made a mistake and we can't afford these products. And can we please, please cancel this order? And I was, you know, I was annoyed because I had spent a lot of time with them. But I also kind of realized, like, they felt pressured into this sale. They were put on the spot. It was an emotional decision. And ultimately, they regretted the decision. And so I did refund them. And I didn't force them into anything that they couldn't afford. Side note on this. The FTC has something that's called the cooling off rule. I think that's what it's called. And it gives customers 3 days to cancel certain sales that are made at your home. I'm not saying necessarily that in-person sales in your home align with this rule, but it's something that you should look into. One example in my world was somebody came to our house to sell gutter guards, and they legally had to disclose to us that we had 3 days to change our mind. It was a high ticket item. There was some kind of like manipulation going with the way that they were making me make a decision on the spot. We had to make the decision that day. And we did want the product and we did end up buying the product, but we kind of walked away feeling just like a little icky about the whole process because it was so high pressure, even though we were happy with the product in the end. We just didn't like the sales process. Okay, one more story, another story. Just this last weekend, my girls are in dance. And so they had their dance photos taken, and I figured that, you know, what do I want to do with these photos that I'm going to purchase of them in their dance costumes? I figured I'll share the photos online on social media. I'll send them to Jeff. My husband Jeff's Nana has a digital frame that she keeps in the kitchen, and she loves to see photos of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren pop up on this digital frame. So I wanted digital images for that purpose, so we could like automatically have them pop up and surprise her with that and have her be able to see those. I figured I might want to put them into a year-end family album where we put all of our other favorite photos from the year. So what did I really want in this case? I wanted the digital files. And that's not just because I'm a photographer and I can print my own images. It's because I had another vision for these photos, and I was willing to pay the appropriate price for the digital files. I'm also kind of a minimalist, so I just don't want to buy what I don't need. I should say I'm an attempted minimalist. I only want to buy what I need. I don't like clutter. I like to be very intentional about like not having waste. But the only package that was offered that actually came with or even offered me the ability to add on digital files also came with a bunch of other prints that I really didn't need or want. And so I ended up buying this package, and I got what I wanted, but I also got a lot of stuff I didn't want. And so I was like, great, I have what I want, but I kind of feel a little ugh about the package because I had to buy stuff I didn't want. So I know that packages drive clients to buy what we want them to buy, and we tell ourselves that we're serving them in that way, but it doesn't mean that the package is actually serving them in the best way possible. It might just have stuff they don't actually need in there, and they might not love that. They're not going to tell you that, but they're just maybe not going to love that. Okay, so let's talk about some of the high pressure sales tactics that might end up working to get the sale, but might unintentionally be using psychological pressure on our clients. So first, I did a ton of research trying to kind of put my thoughts into words for this. So I looked at the definition of hard sell on Investopedia, and I'll have the link to that in the show notes. Okay, here's the definition. A hard sell is designed to get a customer to purchase a good or service in the short term rather than evaluate their options and potentially decide to wait on the purchase. It's considered a high pressure, aggressive technique that has fallen out of favor according to some sales experts. A hard sale is a sales strategy that is direct and pushy. It is designed to get a consumer to purchase a good or service immediately without time to contemplate. Hard sell tactics have a negative connotation and are considered unscrupulous. A hard sell stands in contrast to a soft sell that is gentle and low pressure. It is considered a counterproductive sales tactic, as it typically results in negative feelings and a small chance of repeat business. All right, So let's look at a few specific tactics that are common with in-person sales. And this is based, I mean, this is going to change. I'm not saying that everyone doing in-person sales uses these tactics. This is based very specifically on the trainings that I purchased as online courses and what I was told to do as an in-person salesperson to maximize my income. Okay, so false scarcity and extreme urgency. So the sale is only one night. You have to make the decision during that ordering session. And then the customer, oftentimes they're told that they won't have another chance to see the images ever again unless they buy them. And so like, they're like, hey, can I just sleep on it? Or can I show this to my grandma? Or can I show this to somebody else? A lot of these photographers are like, nope, you have to make your decision tonight. This is it. This is your ordering session. Come prepared to make all decisions. So I'm not against pricing with a deadline to incentivize customers to make a decision, because I do know that left to their own devices, it's true that a lot of customers will just put off ever making a decision. But I don't love the tactic where customers are literally never going to get to see those photos again, or they're told that they'll never see those photos again if they don't order them that day. That just puts like undue pressure on them. The other thing is exhausting our clients. So in-person sales meetings can be really physically and emotionally draining for our clients, because they have to sit down and they have to make all the decisions at once. Sometimes you put a deadline, like the meeting's only going to be an hour. You have to make these decisions really quickly. So by the time they make the purchase decision, they're mentally exhausted. So going back to my client who canceled the sale, they were mentally exhausted. They just ended up buying this thing and they ended up regretting it. One example, this kind of giving credit where credit's due, coming from the Duped podcast, they mentioned Tony Robbins does this a lot in his conferences, where he just like wears people down emotionally with these really long days, and then he does the sell once they're exhausted. So kind of like exhausting our clients into the sale. Okay, now I want to go into, again, from like doing my digging into what people are saying about in-person sales, into hard sale, just all my research kind of preparing for this episode. I found a quote on an in-person sales Facebook page that someone posted, where they posted an email that they received from a client, where the client basically said, "I want to change my order from our meeting. I'm bad at making decisions on the spot," which basically illustrates that some clients feel like they're being put on the spot in these situations where they're meeting you face to face and they're forced to make a decision in a limited amount of time. And again, packages are forcing those clients often to buy products that they don't necessarily want, they don't necessarily need. And I think my belief is that if you truly want to serve your clients to the fullest, I think it's totally cool to offer packages where they can get some savings if they buy it like all together. But please still offer a la carte products, because I really think it's just serving your, if you're truly trying to serve your client to the best of your ability, offer them the ability to buy things a la carte so they don't have to buy stuff they don't want in order to get what they do want. That's how I feel. Okay. I found a quote on a blog post about in-person sales, and the quote said something like, "I knew that I still wanted to offer digitals because everyone wants them. I just wasn't going to make them easily accessible at a low price point. Digitals are my cow, and from that cow, I get milk, cheese, yogurt, my products." And I just thought this sounded so ick, like that you're using these digitals that you know people want as a carrot to get them to buy the other things. Like, it just, to me, I feel like just charge what you need to charge, include your digitals, or like include some number of digitals, then let them upgrade, get more digitals if they want to, let them buy their products separately if they want to. I just don't like this idea that you're like, my digitals are the cow where I get my milk. Like, I'm going to milk my clients for all they're worth because they're going to buy all this other stuff they may or may not want in order to get what they truly want. So I didn't love that. Okay. So the same photographer ended up sharing that her average revenue per session went up. I think she said it was somewhere around $800. That's total revenue before costs of products sold. I will be fully open that I don't know what year this was published. And I know with inflation, this could be all very different now. But she shared at the end that actually her bookings have been much slower. She's having a hard time booking as an in-person sales photographer, which is probably because people don't want this stuff. They don't want to be milked for all they're worth. They want to get what they want to get. Like, they want to just be straightforward and buy things that they want. So another in-person sales person in a forum expressed frustration that her clients only wanted digital files because they had found a print product that they really loved that the photographer didn't offer. So there, you know, we know there are a lot of great print products out there. Some clients just want to buy what they want to buy. And this person was offended by this, that they only wanted digital files. Well, again, if you're trying to serve your client and your client ultimately knows they love this other product, your best way to serve that client is to sell your digitals at a price that makes sense for you and let them go. Again, I sell a ton of products, but I also have clients who have products that they purchase themselves. I'm okay with that as long as I'm guiding them, earning what I need to make, and my client is happy at the end of the day and, you know, likely to come back. So another photographer in the same forum mentioned that either like a flood or a fire had ruined old prints that they had, like old family prints. And from that, she saw that there's extreme value in digital files for clients. So all of these people who are like, oh, never give away the digital files, never even offer the digital files, I just think that's wrong. I think that we need to have that digital backup for this exact purpose. Like, there are so many reasons that our clients deserve to have those digital files, the ability to have at least like their top picks of the digital files. Okay. This leads me to my other considerations. People who sell courses on how to do in-person sales are often going to talk about sales averages and how your sales average per session is going to be higher. And that is often true. But I did a search online to look at a few in-person sales courses and blog posts and just people talking about it. And a few people that were trying to tout in-person sales were touting it, saying because this is a level that you're getting a higher level of sale because people are only going to spend this much maybe like one time in their whole life or 1 to 3 times in their whole life. So that means that maybe this is a really good route for someone like a newborn photographer because that is a rare event to have a newborn. But if you're a family photographer and you're looking to have that reoccurring revenue every single year with returning clients, returning families, you know, you might not be getting those people coming back year after year because that high price point and forcing them into products is going to limit them from coming back every year, or they just don't have space in their home to do like these big wall galleries every single year. So consider your genre and really think about, like, is this a fit for what you're doing? Okay, so a lot of people who talk about in-person sales talk about how you're going to make more per session. But that doesn't necessarily actually translate into making more per hour. So in a poll of in-person sales photographers, when they were asked what they need to the most help with, what do they need the most help with in their business? The number one thing that they needed the most help with was finding new clients. They were, my assumption is, they were struggling to find clients who were willing to work with them on that model. And when they were asked what their biggest fear was in business, they said things like not finding enough clients or raising prices and losing clients. So I do think a lot of in-person salespeople might be struggling to get those returning clients year after year. I also saw a lot of comments about people making the switch. And they said, so far, no one has booked me yet, ever since I made this switch. So I just want you to think about, like, you see these glorified stories of in-person sales, but you still have to market yourself. So that's my next topic, marketing. Just because you switch to in-person sales does not mean that your marketing is magically going to attract those high-end clients overnight. You are going to still have to get out there and put in the work to find those people. And I find that my time spent bringing in new leads with what I'm spending, I'd rather sell them those packages that include the digitals, so that I'm at least like giving them some number of digital files and some base number per session, because as in-person sales photographers will tell you, you're going to have some low sessions. They kind of try to like brush over that, but you do have those sessions where people don't buy anything or they buy like one print and you're just like, wow, that was a lot of time that I just put into that. And they really don't highlight that that's a part of the story. So I prefer to get my bare minimum, which includes some of the digitals or all of the digitals in the package when they book, and then offer products separately later without forcing them into any packages that they don't want. And yes, I'm saying that for me, I'd rather have a business model with higher volume, a little bit higher volume, and a little bit less hands-on service. But caveat, I still feel like I'm fully serving my clients because I'm doing things like sending them these in-depth guides that are sent automatically as a part of my workflow. And the guides are guiding them through planning your session, my favorite hair and makeup artists, using the website Style and Select to help pick outfits, giving other outfit ideas and just general styling, outfit styling advice. And I'm also offering them a ton of guidance on product styling, how to style those products into their home, showing what those products will look like in a styled way with like really great guidance, kind of a magazine style guide online. And then I'm also showing them what their images will look like to scale on their own walls if they want that service. So I'm doing it in a soft sell way. It's not pushy and they're still being fully served and they're still often buying products. So they're, I feel like, really getting served to the fullest in this case. Okay, next, let's look at the numbers. Let's look at the math. When I did in-person sales, I would guess that I was making a range between like $600 per session and $1,200 per session. So that's with inflation. That was in like 2014 or so. So keep that in mind. But let's just say for simplicity that a person is doing in-person sales and they're averaging $1,500 per session. And let's say that a third of that is going toward the cost of goods sold. So they're making, after they buy the products, they're making $1,000 per session. And then let's say, for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to assume that they do not have a studio, that they're doing all their sales in home. There's no monthly rent that they have to cover. So they're making $1,000 on the session. And let's say they're spending 5 hours on that session because they're very full service hands-on. They do a pre-consult to prep their client to set expectations. They do their session, they do their editing, they have their ordering session, retouching, ordering, packaging, and then getting the product into the hands of the customer. And then possibly in some cases, even hanging those frames on the wall. So let's assume that this takes about 2 evenings. One is the evening of the session and one is for the ordering session. And this could be different if you have a studio and you're doing your sessions in the studio or you're doing them back to back, you know, that could change. But let's just say you're spending 5 hours, $1,000, you're making about $200 per hour, which is a good rate. You know, we think we would all be happy with $200 per hour. But let's look at the less hands-on and less pushy model. So I usually stack my sessions into the same evening. So let's say I do 2 sessions and I make $1,150 on those 2 sessions. On those 2 sessions, in total, I'm spending 4.5 hours, which includes setting up the contract, setting up the automated workflow to send out the prep guides, prep them for the session, shooting the session, editing, putting together wall designs if they want them, and then setting up the photos to go to the clients. So $1,150 divided by 4.5 hours equals $255 per hour on 1 evening of work. So we had $200 per hour on in-person sales, $255 per hour as a digital only photographer or digital plus products later photographer. Now, obviously this is going to be different for everybody. My point here is obviously still charge what you need to charge to be profitable, even if you're giving away digital files. But my other point is, you know, a lot of times in-person sales photographers will tout it as the only way to do it, the only way to be profitable. And that's not necessarily the case. Also, this $255 per hour is before I offer any printed products. So a lot of people who sell trainings, courses on in-person sales, act like it's very black and white. You either offer full service in-person sales or you're shoot and burn and you're not serving your clients. And that is not the case. I get product sales all the time, even though I give away the digital files and my packages. And that's because I still serve my clients, again, through the product styling guide, offering products that they want, offering them that wall design idea for inspiration so that they are still getting that in a way that's not pushy. Okay. So let's say that I sell like an extra $100 in drop shipped prints for each session. After the cost of goods, I'm making about $270 per hour for my work. I get that extra evening back. I'm only spending one evening. So that extra evening, I can either book more sessions or I can just like hang out with my family or my friends. Disclaimer, to be totally open and honest here. In my own experience, I've had product sales range anywhere from $0, and that's okay because I'm pricing to where if they don't buy products, it's all right with me, all the way up to $6,000 per client. And I could tout that $6,000 as like, woohoo, let's that's the best. But I will be totally honest, that was a wedding client who bought multiple albums for the family, and $6,000 sales are not normal. So we're going to kind of get more into that in just a minute. But now I can easily bring in more clients per month because the clients will return to me year after year versus those big ticket in-person sales clients who don't want to spend this amount every single year and again don't have the wall space to support the annual photo sessions. And I know in-person salespeople will hate to hear this, but I want to serve the families who put together their own family photo albums every year. I want them to be able to include my photos in the larger album that they're designing using like whatever they want, because that's what I do with my family. And why would I stop them from having the same thing? But I'm charging appropriately. And honestly, I'm offering that service. Like I'm saying, if you want me to design you an album that includes all your family photos from the year, I will do that. This is something I offer and this is something that I've done, but I want them to have that choice. So since a ton of clients are returning to me every single year because they're getting exactly what they want, I end up saving time on marketing because I don't have to chase down new clients every year. And as people return, marketing gets easier every single year. They're referring me, they're coming back. I grow my client list every single year. So finally, I think it's important that we all understand selection bias because it's used all the time in online courses. And this is also talked about in Duped. So just definitely go listen to that podcast. It's very good. Okay, when we're looking at online courses, let's say about in-person sales, we see sales pages that highlight people who are making these huge sales, and we're looking at the selection of the best of the best. We're not looking at the average. We're not looking at everyone. We're constantly fed only the success stories. And so we think, based on what we see, our brains are like, oh, everyone is a runaway success after taking this course, or everyone's just like making these huge sales every single time as an in-person sales photographer. Every single person who's ever switched in-person sales has like changed their lives forever. And as an example, I could take the story of my $6,000 online product sale, and even though that was like the best of the best for me, I could create a sales page and I could easily share that story about that sale, and I could manipulate it to sound like these are like typical results that you're going to get. But is that ethical? I don't think it is. So think about that. Anytime that you look at a course where you're seeing these like raving results, just remember that this is selection bias. You're seeing the best of the best, and you should talk to more people about what their results look like and really just in general talk to other photographers about what's working for them and get that full picture. Okay, so with all of this, I am going to talk to you a little bit about how I do my own sales without in-person sales. And I'm going to share the resource that I have for you if you're interested in taking this approach. And full disclosure, what I've put together for you is a paid resource because it's like a whole package of every single thing done for you. So you can just pick and choose and develop it yourself, or you can take what I've done and use it. So I have talked about how I automate as much as I can and I stack my sessions. So a mini session is 30 minutes long. If you book a mini session, you do not choose your photo location. That's going to be dictated by the location that's chosen for the longer session in the same evening. I'm going to tell you where it's going to be, and you can assume it's going to be somewhere pretty because generally I'm not going to pick an ugly location. So you have to be okay with that. And since I photograph a lot of college graduating seniors now, I set a time frame like during the busiest time where I'm only offering photo sessions on Michigan State's campus. So if you book a session during that time frame, like that couple of weeks in the spring, you're only going to book on campus. And then I'm going to stack those up because that season gets really wild. Side note on that, that's another reason why I offer digital files, because graduating seniors really want digital files. They want to put that stuff on Instagram and they want to share it with their friends, and I'm okay with that. Okay, so I set up 17 hats, and I use 17 hats. You can use whatever tool you want. And 17 hats automatically on my website displays all of my available session dates. I go in, I look at the sunset for every single day, like in my slow season, and I set session times for each day specifically. So the beginning of each season, I set up all of those times. My clients can come to my website, see my availability, they can book automatically, and then when they book, it kicks off a workflow depending on what kind of session they've booked. So I have guides that for each kind of session that will walk them through how to prep for the session, how to choose a session vibe, what to wear, who I recommend for hair and makeup, how to style photos into your home using the products that I offer. I also send them a short questionnaire so I can get to know them a little bit going into the session. I can figure out if they have any areas of concern. Like some people are like, please don't ever photograph my profile. I hate it. If they have kids, they might have kids who respond well to certain things. And then I bring a few products to the session so that they can see those products in person. So they just come a few minutes early or at the end, I just pull them out, show them a few quick products so they can like see them, touch them, feel them. And then after the session, when I deliver the photos through an online gallery, they have the option to purchase those products. So they've now seen those products in the style guide designed into a home, so they know what to do with them. And then they've seen those photos or they've seen those products at the session. It's not high pressure, but they're still getting this great guidance and I feel like I'm serving them really well. There's like, yeah, there's no high pressure where I'm hovering over them and I'm like, okay, you're running out of time, make your decision. So because I'm giving them the agency to decide on their own what they want in their homes without forcing them into bloated packages, they end up, I think, really happy. And again, I've said this so many times, but I'm charging accordingly. So I'm happy whether or not they buy products, but those product sales are a bonus for me. Okay, so I've revamped all of these guides that I use. They're redesigned and they're available in my shop at photofieldnotes.com/shop. You're going to look for the product called Client Prep Guides plus Simple Product Sales System. And I'm going to tell you quickly what's included here. You're going to get client prep guides for a general photo session, a maternity or newborn photo session. It's kind of like one guide, and wedding prep guide. The session guides include details around choosing your session style, what to wear, hair and makeup, and then the wedding guide includes details around planning family photo groupings ahead of time. So that's a huge one for planning. And then all of the prep guides also include a styling section with tips around how to style photos into your home. And those feature the curated list of popular products. And I've even like curated that down even more based on the most popular products that I've sold in my business. I also include a product guide so that you can share product pricing so that you can send that ahead of time and they can see what's offered and how much it's going to cost. And all of these guides are in Canva. They're Canva templates. So they're completely customizable. You can change the text, you can change the images, and it's really easy to make those shareable as like an online link that they can you can share with clients. One little quick click and they're there. And then with that, what I think makes it really cool is I include 12 customizable product mock-up images so you can insert your own client photos, like any photo, into these products so you can show your own image on an album. You can show your own images in frames. And then you can use those images in the guide. So you drag them in Canva, pop them into the image so it all shows your own images. And you can also use them on your website. You can use them in social media. You can use them as like real covers, anything like that, so that you're getting your clients excited about products by showing these products instead of having to spend hundreds of dollars buying the products. You buy like the little samples and then you show them big scale through the images. Okay, I'm also including the 23-page PDF that walks through my online sales system, how I do it. And that includes things like how to prep your clients to expect products, how to price your products. Plus I have a Google spreadsheet pricing guide so you can actually like figure out how much to charge, how to create value for your prints, how to set up your Canva guides, that's just walking through how to use Canva, how to set up your digital tools to deliver everything, and then just a product sale checklist. A little bonus, I have a really easy way to gather email addresses from wedding guests at the wedding digitally so that they have the option to buy those products too. And that's been fun. And I feel like that really serves those guests because a lot of people go to weddings and they never see the photos, even though they're in them. So it makes it really easy for them to get at those photos later. So it's also a really great way to get in front of potential new clients that way. I also have a bit on product fulfillment, which is how to get products into clients' hands quickly. I think I've told you the story in the past about a client who took like 4 years to get her wedding album. And I was like, oh, okay, we need to put some guidelines around this. So now they get wedding albums in 30 days. They get everything turned around really quickly. And then I'm including my email templates from booking, from the time they book through the product delivery. So that really this is like, it's not just about selling products. It's about your whole system, your whole client experience, and just kind of like streamlining everything to really set you up with an easy workflow for all of your clients. And I split the emails into wedding emails and photo session emails. So you can pick and choose. If you're not a wedding photographer, don't use that part. If you're only wedding, you know, whatever, you get to pick and choose what you want here. So check that out at photofieldnotes.com/shop. And again, I'm all about different views. So if you are like so gung-ho on in-person sales and you want to talk to me about that, I'd love to hear it. But I just thought this might be some interesting food for thought. I just thought for me, this was a really fun thought exercise to think through, why was it that I left in-person sales? And why is it that it just doesn't quite sit right with me? And when I go through these forums and I look at people talking about it, I feel like I'm seeing a lot more people who are trying to switch and struggling than I am seeing people who are doing really well with it. And I just wanted to bring this to light, maybe start a discussion. Like, I'm totally game to hear your thoughts on it. If you disagree, I'm very open to discussion. But that concludes my thoughts on this. Check the show notes for all of those resources, including the link to the Duped podcast, which again is just fantastic. I hope you have a wonderful day, and thank you for taking the time to listen.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.